fuck up, Charles.
Shut your fuck up,
Charles. No, Charles, you get in my head. I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my right, the AP King himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
I upgraded you. You're a king now. And to my left, we have the G Ward himself. Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Ward, you're just our apprentice. You'll get there. You'll get there. When you have enough grays as Alex, that's when I know you succeeded. You know, he has that's wisdom. Every gray hair, that's wisdom.
I must be almost the smartest man in the world.
And that's why he's learning from you. He's your ward. And with us also a special guest, Mr. Hashtag Guest Host One.
Hello, this is Hashtag Guest Host One. How are we doing, Wednesday Comic Fans?
The man formerly of Hollywood decided to turn his back on them, and now he's living in new what they call the new Hollywood over
there. It's called Wauwatosa.
Well, I was going to say Milwaukee and just, you know, give a general area. But okay. And my name is Marvin, here for a special edition of the podcast. We're going to go over our top five Marvel movies. That means any of them, the 71 they have released, actually 72. You can include that Fantastic Four the Nerd release, even though you can watch it, so in case it's your top five, but we'll talk about that. We're gonna nail down that top five list, and it's gonna be you know, when you don't say just MCU, like I've seen tons of people ranking their MCU, and that's obviously a thing that a lot of people be like, hey, what's your favorite MCU? But when we talk about the whole shebang, right? When we talk about, you know, from the very beginnings to now.
No, there's going to be some clear biases.
There's going to be some hot takes, I bet. There's going to be, biases. There's going to be one pick at least that all of us are going to, you know, our heads are going to explode. And that person's going to be like, what, I like that movie. And you know what? That's what we need. We need some variety. So we're going to get you our top five here. And I think the route we're going to go, they're going to go Alex, Garrett, Corey, and then me. So, Alex, numero cinco.
Number five is X2 X-Men United.
Oh, great choice.
Nice.
I went through a couple different options, and I had to have a Wolverine movie on there. And X2 has been the strongest X-Men movie made to date, including First Class and all the bullshit that came after it.
Wow. Even Days of Futures Past?
Yeah.
You see all the bullshit?
That stairwell scene where he jumped, that's like his first jump with the claws. X2's amazing.
That's part of that made me go with that movie is the fact that this is the first one where Hugh Jackman got jacked up for this movie. And when he takes out the whole mansion's worth of bad guys, that is enough to make this movie top five. And when you get to see Nightcrawler, his first scene doing the teleporting, kicking everyone's ass in the White House, the movie is phenomenal. I haven't watched it in years, but everything I remember is level five. I mean, it's Omega Mutant right there.
Oh, see, Alex is making things hard for me. I'll delve in more once you get to me.
Garrett, what's your number five?
My number five, just pulling up the old list here. Should have had it ready. Here we go. Thomas Jane Punisher. So good.
Yeah.
I mean, so much so that like every iteration of Punisher has felt so weak compared to it. But it was
even
just like
John Bernthal.
Oh, okay. John Bernthal's was good, but I still think Thomas Jane was better. Can't lie.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
The movie and the story and like it. I mean, I would say the Punisher series on Netflix. Sorry, sidebar is like him becoming the Punisher, where this is the Punisher. So this is the Punisher that I see when I read comics. The guy that like went through hell, came out and said, "I'm in fucking charge now. You have to go through me." And that guy. I mean, that movie was amazing. And like the setup of the revenge plot and like how he executed the ending, and it was just very well done and a lot of fun.
The other thing to take side note of is when he stabs the Russian in the chest, Thomas Jane actually stabs him in the chest.
Really?
Yeah. There was a, they didn't switch out the
prop knife with the real knife.
So when Thomas Jane stabs Kevin Nash in the shoulder, he literally uses the dull knife and stabs him in the chest.
Damn.
Oh, wow. Shoulder.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That has to hurt.
And they kept it in the movie because he, through the whole fight scene, he didn't notice it until he goes, guys, I'm actually bleeding. So
yeah, like, you actually stabbed me? Oh, that's so cool. I mean, it's not cool. I'm glad he's alive. But
it's and that dude got fired.
Oh, yeah. The prop dude?
The prop dude, yeah, yeah.
I was like, Tosh Jane didn't get fired. Well, I mean, he kind of did. He didn't start in a sequel. So.
What, remember that short that came out that was kind of like almost...
Laundry Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, Laundry Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he was trying to get it back. Do you think now with all the multiverse stuff that he might show up?
I bet you there's a good chance for like the Secret Wars thing. Because I've heard rumors for that. They want to get Fox, you know, everything that's been done in the, a movie.
And as we talked about last week, and I'm going to put a big spoiler warning here for Into the Spider-Verse. But even like in that film, there are cameos from different versions of a character. So they clearly have set precedent that it could happen. I know that's Sony, but we're also like, we're talking about if they're the first to do that kind of crossover like that, when they have a multiverse, like, and Marvel's been setting it up, Marvel's going to strike back somehow and have a scene like that in their feature film. So I look forward to it. I think I'm going to be 100% honest. Every single Punisher, Dolph Lundgren, it depends on if it, I'm intoxicated while we're watching it. But every other Punisher, I feel like, did an amazing job. And Thomas Jane's good. But like, if you look at the rest of the Punishers, there's not a bad one in the bunch. I think.
Oh, I should say, I still think the Dolph Lundgren one is good in its own right. I mean, he's the only one who's ever gone up against the Yakuza.
I haven't seen him. Whatchamacallit. What was the one after
Warzone?
Warzone.
Seen that still.
It's all right.
I'm telling you. This is what I was going to say, Gear, but I understand what you're talking about. Thomas Jane being like the TV series is like year zero, and then that movie's year one. If we want to talk about year 25, that's Warzone. That guy knows how to fucking kill. And he,
RPG to the chest.
He's even bored at that point. He's like, how the fuck am I going to kill this guy? All right, well, I'll do rocket launcher, I guess. That movie's fucking crazy. Something about a movie like that, and at this point, Alex, do you care if I tell you something happened in The Flash?
No, God, no.
I'll tell you this. I enjoyed it because it did kind of try stuff that was like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like I just said, it was like just batshit crazy like the Warzone does. And so in that movie, when you do get a Nicolas Cage Superman fighting a giant spider, I was like, that for me made me feel like worth it. Whole fucking movie.
Wait, does Cage actually show up in that movie?
He's like CGI, but yeah.
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 He did mocap, but they de-aged him.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, and we talked about it like weeks ago as being like, of course, like if they asked him, he's going to say yes, he wants to do that. But like, that was so fucking crazy. And it's not like I expect it to just be like a glimpse, like because there is a multiverse section, but it lasts for longer than you would think. And I was like, love this movie. I was like, I just can't have a movie take a risk like that and be so crazy and not enjoy it. So anyways, it's a good choice, Garrett.
That's all. Thank you. Say.
And it really is going to be hard when you think about this. I know Corey's saying it's already getting hard. If there's 72 movies, it's going to, like, even the top 20 would be good movies. So this five is very subjective in terms of what we each like differently. And there are some I was like, I would include that one. But I don't know. This is like how I'm feeling right now for this top five. So
but I think the thing is that I went into this movie going, I mean, there's ones that I probably would have put on the list, but these are the ones that, now that I think about it, I would watch these movies once a month if I had that much time to watch a movie.
That's exactly how I made my list. I was like, what have I seen over and over again and it never gets old? And then two, and like, what do I want to watch again? Because there are some of these that I think they're good, but I never would rewatch them, I don't think. And then, as you said, Alex, like, if I had to be like, I had to watch five of these movies each month, that's the five I went with. Corey, what's your number five?
Okay, so because we can play this game however we want, I was going to say X-Men, Days of Future Past. But after hearing the beautiful poetry from Al A. Pastralo, I am now changing it to X-Men 2, X-Men United. Because when he talked about those scenes, goosebumps out of my flesh that I still get to this day. I love X2. Everything he mentioned, like the stairwell, you know, Jean Grey dying, spoilers. It's been 20 years. Get over it. It's fantastic. I love it so much.
Corey, that makes my heart feel so happy.
It's so good.
That we're so in sync now.
Right. It's going to continue the whole list, too.
the thing that about these lists that's crazy is kind of like what you guys were saying about X2. It's like, how do you not... Some of these have like more nostalgia mixed in with them than other ones. But I don't know. I want to reiterate, this is very fucking hard. Harder than I thought it would be, especially when I was like thinking about all these movies. And X2, we'll see if it comes up on my list. Maybe, maybe not. But I want to give a shout out.
Well, it's clearly not 5.
I want to give a shout out and say this, my number 6, I will say out there, like my honorable mention. I do want, and we talked about it a little bit ago, but I want to give that to Warzone because I feel like that is the, I'm not saying it's the best movie out of it, obviously not. But I think it's the best movie that nobody really saw is that Punisher Warzone movie. And you have to just experience
it.
You have to just experience it because how fucking crazy it is. Like,
okay.
They were like, what if he was the Punisher, but like it was a game almost like kind of Gears of War. Like, let's try to make it as bloody as possible. Like, that was their goal. And as somebody, if you actually just want to see the Punisher just kill people, like, that's the movie.
Wow.
My number 5, though. Thinking about it, I was thinking it back and forth, and we used to all work at an establishment, and we had a video rental section, and so you had some of these movies to pick from to like put on all the time. And so when I was thinking of this list, I was thinking of what are the ones I usually I went to go see if they were checked in there. And there was a small list of these. I don't know if you guys ever saw me doing this. There was a small list of these that maybe were too much to be showing in a store, you know, that I only would put on like Sunday nights when you had the manager who didn't care or everyone back to where we worked and nobody was really going to come in. And that is Blade 2.
I haven't seen any of the Blades.
Shame. Oh, Corey,
shame,
really?
I know, shame.
And I was thinking about
one,
it.
One and two, fantastic.
Corey, you could watch two. I would recommend watching one because it is good. Yeah. I think two is better. It's way more fun. It's way more out there and crazy. It's Guillermo del Toro. It's basically a Guillermo del Toro movie, but it's set in the Blade universe. Like the way that the creatures look and the way that the action is, it's definitely something that if you like the Hellboy movies and like his action pieces, like that's the movie you go for. But there's just something about having one of these, like the Blade movie that's coming up, has a lot to live up to. When you have,
if
it ever comes out, we'll see. But like, if Blade 2 is almost like in my, maybe not top 10, but top 15 action movies, which would be high for this list because a lot of these don't even touch that compared to all the action movies out there. But I think that one does just because of the choreography. And I think Guillermo del Toro is somebody who doesn't do something that he doesn't love. He's never going to put himself into a project. He will leave projects and work and sit in limbo forever if it's not his thing. And so, like, he really does show that in this movie. And it's a fun ride. It's a fun movie. So, Blade 2, my number 5.
Nice.
Number 4, Cuatro.
This might be the hot take that you guys would strongly disagree with, but my number 4 is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Hey,
I mean, the movie was phenomenal. Now, having only seen it the one time, I don't know if I got to digest it as much. But I went into this movie enjoying what I was seeing, the delving into Gwen's life, that even a little bit more that we got to see from her was phenomenal. We got to see Miles Morales. We did, but that's not who I'm thinking of. Miguel O'Hara, what a fucker. And that's not, I mean, we'll talk more on a later show here and there, but this is one of those movies that there's three other ones that I think I either felt stronger towards enjoyed more for what it was. But this movie is so solid that to not be on my top five would be a disappointment for me.
It is pretty damn good.
Number four. Garrett.
Does it go to me now? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
Garrett. I'm sorry. I know. I was thinking what the order was. Jeez, you dicks. I was going with what started the MCU, because I get excited every time I watch it, and that's Iron Man. First Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.
Respect.
You know, kicked off the universe. Loads of fun, filled with Easter eggs. First ever end credit scene with Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, first time going from the big bulky suit to the red and yellow, red and gold suit. I mean, so many fun. It like established what was to come for Tony Stark from then on. So Iron Man. And like, I know there's other MCU movies, but I'm just thinking of all Marvel movies. Like, I'm definitely thinking of that. So it's just a fun one.
Dude, it's one that has to be talked about. And I know it's a character who eventually, to me, I don't know, everybody else, like towards the end, was more becoming a caricature of what they presented in Marvel. But that first movie, if that doesn't work, this whole shit doesn't work, the MCU. Like, if that failed, right. I mean, look at DC over there trying with this, and they keep doing trying to do a cold start over here, and nothing's pumping. These guys with Iron Man took a risk showing a character who at that time was not a super popular character, a C-level character, and saying that's going to be our first movie. And from this movie, like at the end of this scene, we're like, we're going to create more movies based on this movie. Like, it was a risk and it pays off. I think it pays off a lot from Jon Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. Because I believe when they shot Iron Man, like the script was not done. And so there's a lot of that they just did as improv and like, hey, let's just shoot this quick and do this. And I think that's what makes that first movie feel very different than the polished kind of, you know, now there's no way anything would be done in those movies without them knowing about it. So ahead of time, I mean, so it just feel very almost like a indie filmmaker, like making a movie about Iron Man. So.
Right. And it just had fun with itself. And like, it was just a blast. And when I left, I was like, let's go on the interstate and just like fucking burn rubber, man. Like it was just so much adrenaline after that movie.
Oh, I just wanted a robot that, would fuck up all the time.
Oh, you get the dunce cap robot.
Use that extinguisher when you didn't need it, and yeah. Uh-huh.
And I will say, with Iron Man, my honorable mention is Iron Man 3, because Iron Man 3 is also a great movie.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's great. There are like least ones, and I think Iron Man 3 falls in there for me. I think Warzone falls in there for me, and a couple other ones where it's like, if I'm in the right mood, that's my favorite movie. But some of these things. But these were more consistent, these top five. So
my two honorable mentions would have been Thomas Jane, Punisher, and X-Men 1 from 2000.
Right.
X-Men 1 was definitely the creepiest out of all.
We're going to have to one day, and we'll plan it ahead so we have time, but we're going to have to do our top 72. And then the ones Jesus. You haven't seen, we'll plan it for way ahead of time. The ones you haven't seen, it's your homework to watch them, and then we'll see. Top 72, but
that will be a hard one.
You know what? And the longer we take, the bigger that list gets. So
right, true,
yeah, true.
Well, not for this next Spider-Verse movie. That's we got time for that one.
Yeah.
Corey Cuatro.
So since Garrett said Iron Man, if we're gonna go further into the journey, I'm gonna go Avengers: Infinity War. I absolutely love this movie. I could rewatch it 24 hours a day. It's so colorful. And I'm always like about growth of a character. We have Iron Man in 2008, like Garrett said, first learning how. And in Infinity War, that fight with Tony Stark and Thanos, like the fact that he's just a human being. And then he punches this godlike evil Thanos in the face and causes him to bleed based on the technology he created. Gives me chills every time. I'm just like, I just can't believe it. It's so crazy.
What, how many movies were out by the time that Infinity War, Endgame came out?
23.
Yeah, I can't remember. 23? I think, yeah.
Wait, like you said Endgame, right? Infinity War. I want to say this about Endgame real quick, and this is one of those ones who, like, when you see those two up to, I would agree with you, Corey. Like, that one goes on the list, and not that Endgame's any worse, but I feel like Endgame really, if you watch the whole thing, that's your payoff in it, and that's why it's so powerful. If you don't and you just watch it by itself, I bet you wouldn't know what the fuck is going on. But
right.
I will say this, as you're talking about this, like, if you look in those first movies, then especially the bigger moments are in the Avengers movies, but for 23 some movies, like, it's Iron Man's big arc. Like, that, it starts with him being, you know, arrogant and being this person who doesn't give a shit about other people. And then even though he realizes, like, I've caused pain in this world and I should be start protecting it, he's still arrogant. He still thinks that he's better. Like, he needs to take care of it. And you see that arc throughout all these movies, that he's the person that needs to be, he doesn't trust really anybody else to take care of it. And he gets so paranoid about that. That's when we get Civil War, where he's like, no, like, we need to be able to have checks and balances. And it needs to go through me, you know, all this stuff. And then in Endgame, we get Tony finally realizing, like, between Infinity War and Endgame, that he can trust other people, and it doesn't always need to be on his shoulders. And even though something happens in that movie, if you haven't seen it by now, something happens in that movie where Tony Stark ceases to be a character. Even though that happens in that movie, that's his final way of just being at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never been at peace his whole life, and he finally gets that. And so I feel like, as you're saying, Corey, like, Infinity War was like the almost, I remember that night, I remember the excitement in the crowd, like, that movie is a firework. And then the Endgame is that cathartic release that we needed to be like, and I remember when that happened, and it happens, like, spookily happened when the pandemic happened, so then we didn't get the next movie for a while. It felt like that was it. They're done. You know, like, that's it. That's what you guys get. And if that would have been it, that would have been good. I'm not saying that I don't like any movies that happened past that, I'm saying, though, but if they, I wouldn't have felt bad if they were just like, you know what, we're done. I'm like, all right, yeah. Like, I got those.
Right. Something that may not be achieved again in our lifetime. You never know. Hopefully they can pull it off, and I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they'll find
it. I'm not very confident right now.
Yeah, maybe they'll find it. Who knows? But, and who knows about this DC? We'll see. My number four is, Alex mentioned it, Spider-Verse Across the Universe. Across the Spider-Verse. Jesus. Spider-Man. Jeez. What's it called, Alex?
Spider-Man
Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that's what it's called, Highway. And I'll just say this. I went back and forth about, like, this is spot, because I do love 1-2 a lot. And I like, but this movie, it almost feels like the first one, it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, it felt so fresh. It felt like, what is this? And then the second one is like, what if I find the better version of that? And it may, like I said, it may be because we just had seen it, but the animation in that movie, the direction, the action scenes, like, every single aspect of that movie, I don't know how you do it better. Maybe not making it a two-parter, but obviously, you know, it probably took forever to make that movie. Because the last one came out, what, 2018?
18, yeah.
So 5 years. Mm-hmm. Like, and even then, they're like, that might have been enough time for them. But when you see how many styles of animation are in there and everything that happens, live action in that movie too, it's just fucking, it's crazy. If you know even an ounce what goes into those type of special effects and stuff, it's just crazy that I don't know how they fucking made that movie. I know, I don't, like, usually I can watch a movie and be like, oh, that's how they did that. That's how they did that. I don't know how they made that movie.
I imagine, like, when they do that, the Spider-Man chase scene, I imagine they animated one Spider-Man at a time. And then every week they added the next Spider-Man. It all had to be.
And they had fluid. To had put the movie together, like, in slow mode times 120. And then they go, okay, now let's play regular. And that's why you get so many, like, it's just so, you can't really, like, when I was there, I was like, my brain was trying to keep up with Miles in a way. And the longer those scenes went, the more kind of exhausted I was getting from it. It's to a certain point where I was like, I think pretty soon I'm just going to not know what's going on.
You brain dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does feel that way. And so when you, like, in a good way, though, it almost feels like going on a run, right? Like, at the end, you're like, holy shit. Like, you feel that kind of action. And it's very, very hard in animation, especially, to make other people like feel that kind of action. And that's why I find it incredible. Like, it is, when everything's said and done, no matter what our top five are, like, Sony Animation and who and Philip Lord and Miller, like Lord and Miller on that movie, like everything, it's just technically,
yeah.
I don't understand how you fucking did it. Like, it's a miracle that movie exists.
So why aren't they running the Sony-verse? Like, they should be running all the live action shit.
Yeah, Kraven the Hunter trailer, nowhere near top five ever.
They should be.
By the way, I gotta throw it out right now. Are you, Corey, and Garrett going to be able to come to Sioux Falls for Kraven the Hunter in October?
Oh, I don't know.
October's a really big...
Yeah, I know, ways unfortunately. Away.
But I'm throwing the gauntlet out now. Because if the
when
four
is
of
it,
us
Alex?
Can get together, I, what, like the 17th or something? I think.
Hmm.
Anyway,
well, I
we
think
can worry about when we
that first to. Weekend.
But I'm thinking if the four of us can go... And then do a show together later that weekend or whatever to talk about it and get Runyon on to hear me shit on this movie and everyone else shit on it. Gold.
It's October 6th. That is SuperCon weekend.
Right? No, then
I have a wedding week that after. Weekend, so I can't.
You're not coming to SuperCon weekend. Again?
But it's the week after, Garrett. It's the 29th.
That's the week after. we'll talk about that later.
Well, see, it's going to get delayed when they find out in the source material, Kraven doesn't get bit by a fucking lion.
That was my number four. So, Alex, your number three.
Oh, one thing I wanted to really quick add because I have a comment about, and I know we're going to potentially talk about it in a future
episode.
We did.
We did. No, we talked about it already.
Yeah, we talked about it. Right. I forgot we talked about it. But, I was listening to another podcast, and it was one of the animators for Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And so he's saying that, like, you know, it was all those Spider-Men were divided, like all the Spider people were divided between numerous creators. And so it wasn't just one animation person making all the Spider-Men. It was like many different creators making all the different
Spider-Men. Alex wasn't half wrong. He said he thought they did them all individually, and they did, but just by different people too.
Right.
Yeah. Which is also when you think about this, and also this is also something like what if, because Philip, Lord and Miller were directing The Flash until they got kicked off of it. For creative differences, and then they finally went with, which I don't think is a bad director, the director that eventually went with it, but, and obviously this movie shows, like, a Flash movie by these two would have been amazing.
Right.
Oh, God.
Tres, Mr.
Okay,
Alex.
My bad. Yeah.
My number three is when we start getting into the feels, one of the only MCU movies to probably make me tear up almost three times. With Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh,
good pick.
The first Spider-Man movie outside of maybe Into that has handled more than three villains very well. I mean, this is the closest we've gotten to the Sinister Six ever outside of the cartoons. And every bad guy felt like they either grew as a character, coming at you, Green Goblin. What a way to... I do kind of wish he wore the mask still longer. But I also get Willem Dafoe wanted to have some screen time. We finally got to see Doc Ock be a good guy. The Lizard, he's kind of a shit anyway. Sandman, whatever. But Electro, what a way to at least make his outfit worthwhile. This movie, I mean, I almost cried when Aunt May died. Spoilers for those people 2 years ago.
Oh, God, that
the fight scene between Green Goblin and Spider-Man, so hard to watch as Peter's getting the shit kicked out of him. God, this movie is just, it is pure gold in the MCU. And I mean, I can't wait for my daughter to get a little older to share this movie with her. She's seen Across the Spider-Verse. She's seen Into the Spider-Verse. I just feel like this one, a little harder to watch when it's live action.
Yeah.
But what a step forward in the Spider-Man world in live action movies.
And I will confirm that children can watch it. Only if their love for Spider-Man exceeds their fear of Green Goblin. So that happened with
definitely
me. I took both my kids to it, and they were a little scared, but it was Spider-Man, so they were going to watch the rest of it. So
it's just so good. I mean, I hadn't felt that excited probably since Avengers Endgame at a movie, not like a Marvel movie. Like, just enough of, like, giving us kind of what we want, but telling a great story. I'm like, man, that's MCU material right there. So I feel like we need to get back to grand storytelling like that.
Right.
Garrett, numero tres.
Numero tres. So, yeah, I'm leaving MCU town, going back to Fox town. Logan. One of my favorite movies of all time, you know, Hugh Jackman in the spotlight, get our X-23 Laura Kinney. And it's just a really heartfelt story about, you know, Wolverine and his pretty much adoptive daughter, trying to find the last remaining mutants. And, like, it's the twilight of Logan's life with, you know, Professor X. And it's just like, how much can a person take? You know, Logan's had a tough life, and it's just so down to earth and so gritty, and just like, it was just really well done. And I still think that, like, you know, I love seeing it in color, but like, when I got to see it in black and white, it was just that much better. It was just so fucking cool. So great story. I'm interested to see how they'll handle it with Deadpool 3, but Logan was just so good. It was a great one-off.
There we go. Logan was one of those ones. It's not going to be in my list, but it was one of those ones that I put in that category. Like, if I'm in the mood for that movie fucking hits, bro. Like, and that's what gets me. By the way, Oscar, you forget to mention, Oscar nominated Logan because it was nominated for Best Picture that year. And now we're getting James Mangold on Swamp Thing. So that makes me excited for Swamp Thing, too.
Yeah.
Corey, tres.
Okay. Now we're getting into some biases and stuff, but for me, has to be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
So my lovely girlfriend had never seen it, and so this was last week. She saw Across the Spider-Verse first, so God bless her. And then she watched Into the Spider-Verse last week, and sitting through that, I just love it so much. Just right away, it's just everything I want in a Spider-Man movie, and like, not passing the torch, but like honoring the best of what makes Peter Parker great, and then honoring the best of what makes Miles great. Like the What's Up Danger scene, where, you know, he's falling down, but he's rising up. Like that filming shot just gives me chills every time. And then it's like how great it pays respect to both Peter and Miles, like best buddy duo of all time. Because when, you know, he's like, what if I mess it up? And then when Miles gives the lesson back to him, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just so happy. And like, you know, we talk about catharsis and peace. Like, oh, it just feels so right. I love that movie so much.
It is a very, I think it's more heartfelt than Across the Spider-Verse. And that moment you're talking about, Corey, is one of the reasons why. But with the Across, I'm just more kind of wild by the technical aspect of it. But you're right, though. Like, everything in terms of, we're talking about catharsis and being able to breathe. Like when that moment happens, you're holding your breath until it starts speeding back up again. If fans of the podcast remember, Corey stated the definitive origin of Miles is this movie and not the comics.
Yes. I don't know if I just had the not filter. It wasn't until I read an annual that someone had made for one of the Miles Morales runs where I'm like, oh my God, this is like the first major comic I care about. Like I was trying to when Bendis and Buscemi, cause like the art's amazing. The art is there. It looks amazing, but just the story, like I just know what Bendis can do. And I just thought he was kind of phoning it in a little bit. He didn't give the heart with Miles in that first run of comics that I was expecting. Like there was pellets, but I just know he's capable. Like, he's way more.
And you're just saying that this is way better, this movie.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not going into a commentary, but yeah, this is way better. Like, this just Miles, yeah, fantastic. Which truly, like, when these movies came out, it's like, all right, Miles is definitely a Spider-Man. Where the comics, it was like, okay, he just is, whatever, you know, accept it. Where it's like, but no, I feel like he deserves the Spider-Man title in the movies. Obstacles he's faced.
I believe it's like 2018-ish when Miles was introduced. Maybe it's later than that. I don't know.
I think it's earlier.
It's earlier than that.
Because 2018 was when Into the Spider-Verse came out.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's like 2015. It's
2008, isn't it? When did Ultimate start wrapping up?
I'm going to look.
It's not 2008. That's way too soon.
Yeah, it's not 2008. I'd say
here it is. It's 2014 to 2015.
Okay.
I just want to see who wrote this annual that you keep talking about.
I can't. It wasn't,
is it Salah and Ahmed?
Yes.
Let's see here.
So I'm trying to find the cover for, because I remember it, and it's like, it's such like, it's like his origin in comic form.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just don't remember who wrote it.
It is.
Anyway, while you look that up and while you try to find that, Corey, let me give you my number three.
Yeah, and solid in on that. Sorry.
Okay. Hey, so that Miles series from 2021, that's by Miles Ahmed, or by the same person.
Wow.
I think it is.
He's been writing a while.
Yeah. The art's not great, though. I remember I sent you guys that picture of that guy who had a smiley face on his face. And Miles was like 20 feet tall. My number three, and this is what I'm talking about. It makes it so fucking hard, but because originally, as my number three, I'm being 100% honest, I had slotted in the first Spider-Man movie. Just because it's like that movie, Spider-Man and X-Men, the first one, were like, throughout my childhood and everything like that, this was always something that I enjoyed, but it would never went to the level where I wanted to learn more until those two movies. And that's when I started being like, what are these comic books? Like, let's figure this out. And so I was going to have it as my number three, but then Mr. A.P. Keaton, nope, yes, said No Way Home. And I was like, you know what? The only reason why I look back at those movies now and have nostalgia for them is because of what happens in that movie, in that Green Goblin. So I switched it. I'm going to go with No Way Home.
Nice.
I tell you what, that's two times I've switched a mind.
Doing this. Wow. Alex,
because
you got the power,
you
man.
Just made every point that is exactly why that movie deserves to be on this list. It's like, it's a definitive Green Goblin. It's a definitive, probably the only time we're going to get a real Sinister Six that's going to be good. Or some version of it, like in a Doc Ock in that movie's great. Like, it just fucking hits on so many levels. And if you're a fan of those Spider-Man movies, the Sony ones, and then that movie is like the end game for it. It's just it's such an entertaining movie, and it pulls you in based on no matter where you came into the Spider-Man universe and of movies, like there's something for you in that movie. And and if you've been along for all of them, it's just like a ride, like hit after hit. That's the movie actually that was on TV while I was on vacation, and I was watching it, and you just can't take your eyes away. So I'm going to say No Way Home.
See, Alex, you have the power of positive speaking, and so when we usually talk about a movie, you say it's shit. And so that's why we're like, oh, we're numb to it. And then when you positive praise these movies, you're like, wow. Listen to this man. He has the voice reason if you just would harness it.
I don't know. I think when we did our show about space aliens and Marvin and Gary told me stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's full of shit. You gotta see the facts.
Well, you know it's shit when Alex calls them space aliens as if they would be the other kind of aliens, but
hey.
You could, I guess they could be water aliens. You're
that's
right.
That's just the old man in me now. Those space aliens.
Damon, what are they used to call them? Oh, flying saucers.
Yeah, flying saucers, those plates in the skies. All right, my number two is Into the Spider-Verse. Now, I've only seen it twice in my life. I remember in 2019, I was on, what was the show called? Backlot 605, and we talked about Spider-Man movies because I went on for Far From Home. And Casey tells me, he goes, you know what? Into the Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie currently out there. And I hadn't seen it yet, and I finally watched it, and it blew my mind. I watched it just 2 weeks ago with my daughter for the first time, and that movie still brings me back to, one, how well Miles is portrayed, how well of a young kid he is, just trying to figure himself out. We get an amazingly written Peter Parker. When we get Doc Ock, I think, is it Catherine Hahn plays her?
Yes.
Yeah.
The voice work, the animation for it is phenomenal. I still laugh out loud when Miles is running away from that security guard and he goes, Morales, and then Miles in his head goes, who's Morales? Or no, play dumb. And then he says his name and then he goes, don't be that dumb. And then he runs away. It still makes me laugh to this day how phenomenal this movie is. How just like the genre changing this movie can be. Phenomenal. There's no way this movie could be anything less than second when I think of the Marvel Universe as a whole, not just the MCU, but in general.
Perfectly
Garrett.
Said. Yeah. My number two, Spider-Man No Way Home. I mean, it bridged the gap between all Spider-Men, and I think for me, was kind of what established Tom Holland as Spider-Man for me, because in the first two movies, I always thought, like, you know, he was, you know, the first movie was focused heavily on his, like, you know, reliance on Iron Man. And the second one was, like, trying to do stuff in memory of Iron Man, where this Spider-Man No Way Home was, like, more about him being Spider-Man. And, you know, I know that's what we know now, that these three movies were kind of, like, if you combine them, it would be, like, the Spider-Man one of Tom Holland, but it was just phenomenal. I mean, yes, the seeing Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield was incredible, and seeing all the characters that we love. But I was just really proud of how, like, I left that movie being like, I want to see more of Tom Holland Spider-Man. Like, I love seeing Tobey and Andrew, but I'm like, there's so much story potential now with Tom's character. It was just so good, and yeah, the nostalgia was electric, and Electro wasn't stupid as shit. So
the nice thing about this movie is that he actually fights villains that hate Spider-Man. It's not people who hated Iron Man or that Tony Stark had fucked over. It's people who have already fought Spider-Man, not him necessarily, but a Spider-Man.
That's true. Yeah.
And they were pissed at him for what he's done to them.
It was a Spider-Man movie instead of being like an Avengers movie.
That was actually a point I wanted to make, is just like when we found out, like, oh, okay, so that's why it's been very different. Like, this is his origin story. And when you get that last kind of scene with him in the new suit and the music comes on, is also one of those moments that we've been talking about where it's just like, if we had like top 10 moments, like that would be in it. And also, I wanted to say, like, at the end of the movie, spoilers, I mean, what? Came out a while ago. But at the end, when everybody's memory is wiped of who Peter Parker is, and that you get that ending scene where he's just all alone now because it's Onstead and nobody knows who he is, like, and he's by himself. Like, it was also a very somber way to end a movie. Like, usually in the last one, when you do a trilogy like that, like, the last one's supposed to be the up moment, and it wasn't. So with great power comes great something.
If I may say, Ragnarok also was the third that ended really sadly.
That's true, but then they made a fourth and acted like that didn't happen.
And then they fucked it up. So
well, then just a couple of necks got snapped. You know, whatever.
Corey, what's your number two? Two.
So I have to go back to the beginning as it was. All right, sorry, somebody just farted or opened a bag of popcorn.
We don't say that F word on these parts.
Yeah, Corey. Don't bring up the the F word.
Okay. Anyway, with that great intro, I have to give it to the one, the only Spider-Man. 2002. This movie skyrocketed. This was the birth of superheroes in my eyes. Like, yeah, you know, there was like a couple things that had come out, X-Men, all that stuff. But I saw this movie in theaters 7 times.
He's not lying either.
I'm not lying. I could tell this movie from start to finish. I've seen it more than any of the Marvel movies. Like, I've seen it the most times, hands down. I just, so much about it. I love the Green Goblin. So I was also part of the camp where I was like,
would you say, Corey, wish that, would you say that this movie, even though you might have been interested in these characters and in products with these characters prior to this, but this was also your jumping off point where you're like, I need to start reading these comics more
right
on a regular basis?
Yep. Because that's where I had started Ultimate Comics. And the crazy thing, our Ultimate Spider-Man, I had gotten the free comic book day issue. And then I also bought number one. And I was obsessed with Spider-Man so much, I cut up Ultimate Spider-Man number one and taped it all over my wall. Like a 10-year-old kid.
What? I know, Alex just died inside.
Well, wow. Okay, now hold on. There's happiness because 10 years later, I got number one for like $100. So I own them all. But yeah, it's just such a, I can always look back on that time in my life where I was just like, you know, the colors in that movie, it's just everything was so vibrant. And yeah, I wish in No Way Home, like, I love Green Goblin, and I wish he wore the mask the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I was a freshman in high school when that movie came out. Well, how old were you?
We were like eight or nine.
I was 12 when it came out, so you guys would have been 9 or 8.
Oh, we were totally like 5 then.
Yeah. Rude.
he had the opening. I had to fill it.
Damn. I even knew you were going to take advantage of it.
What is ninth grade? How old are you ninth grade?
Ninth grade? You mean freshman year?
Yeah.
14.
14?
Yeah.
All right, so I was 14 when this movie came out. Wait a second. Why did I have to do that? I just go my birth year in 2001.
It's 2002, May 3rd, 2002.
Oh, okay, 2002, May 3rd. So I was 15. That's when it came out. But Corey, what you said, exactly the point. Like, this is the thing that we have probably ultimately, if not for the four of us, at least for three of us, this is responsible for this podcast, basically, because it started us down that path. And I agree with you. Like, that's the movie that introduced me to Sam Raimi. That's the movie that introduced me to Marvel, like, to go beyond just watching the cartoons and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that movie, it does hold, yeah, a special place in my heart. So yeah, it took a long time. Alex convinced me to change it, but it would have been right there.
Yeah,
I like number two a lot too. It's not going to be on my list.
That makes me feel guilty. Jeez.
By the way, I made the hard choice not to include two, even though I love two in the top five.
Yeah, two is incredible.
Because like I said, I'm kind of looking like, I've seen two a million times because at the place we used to work, that was the one safe movie I knew, you know, forward to backward, nothing but was bad in it that I could put in and that it would show off the TVs and also I could watch it. So Spider-Man 2 was that for me. That was like, you know, Gary, you remember those days where you could just like basically watch a whole movie?
Yeah. When you had time.
Yeah.
I always think Spider-Man 1 was the most quotable of all the movies, at least when it came to like Willem Dafoe's lines to Spider-Man, when he's standing on top of the bridge, or when they're fighting in the broken down condemned building, and he tells him, you know, that your little girlfriend's death being quick and painless and all that stuff.
So I had a neighborhood friend. We would reenact the end fight. We would get the lines down word for word, and then we'd reenact the fight. Kind of, you know.
Damn.
Joker.
Did you use the Batman goblin. And Garrett was Green Goblin?
No, I was the pumpkin bomb.
Weird, it wasn't on your face.
What's that, you son of a bitch? I'm coming at you.
Garrett was the stand-in when he gets stabbed.
Yeah, I'm the glider and the pumpkin bomb. So.
Yeah, you know, he was the razor blade pumpkin because every time he talked, it made you want to split your
head. Yeah, that's right. Kick you in the shins and the the forearms.
My number two is a movie that we've discussed already. It is actually, besides Spider-Man 2, the movie that I could watch the most of that establishment. And for reasons that Alex already stated, but X2 is my number two.
Oh, so nice.
Good spot.
I think, once again, I think Spider-Man 1 and in this X-Men number 1 were two movies that sent me down a path. And I feel like the first movie that came out post that path where I really, like, it accelerated me more to go down that path was X2. And I've seen that movie so many times, I couldn't even tell you. I know lines for that movie. I know shots of that movie. One of the best intros ever. And I feel like the movie, besides Logan, where Logan actually feels like Logan, is that second movie. So that's my number dos. Numero uno, Mr. Pastrallo.
I know there is no guesswork needed. Everyone already knows what the king of any Marvel movie is: Captain America Winter Soldier. It is by far the best MCU movie made to date from 2014. And honestly, it outdoes all the other Marvel movies for me, for the fact that the writing is phenomenal. The acting is so well done. And to know that it has the best fight choreography I've seen in most movies. It is not just my favorite Marvel movie. It is top five favorite movies for me. How well this movie is done. So, also it has Chris Evans.
What about Scarlett Johansson? You fool.
Yeah, she's okay.
She's okay.
She's okay.
Oh, man.
Care what
it is a great movie.
Numero uno.
My numero uno? We're doing it. I'm going to say Avengers Infinity War. Though I do love Winter Soldier, but I got to tell you, Infinity War, out of all the Avengers movies, like everything that I'm looking for in a team-up movie, Avengers Infinity War had it. I mean, I think of like Thor right away as like, we have serious Thor. Like, he can tell a joke every now and again, but like, he leveled up in this movie. And somehow in his movie after this, it like went the complete opposite direction where he was just jokey the whole time. And so I think of like Thor and the Guardians and like Cap and Iron Man and Spider-Man, you know, it's like, it was a good way. Like the story made sense on why they're all together. And I really wish, you know, I wish that Marvel had the balls to call this movie like Avengers Thanos Wins, kind of like that comic series we read where the arc was called Thanos Wins. Cause I'm like, he literally has a mission, comes in, accomplishes it, sits in that, you know, at the sunset and just like fucking did it, you know. And it was just so good. Like nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him at all. It was just a force to be reckoned with. And yeah, I think it just played with all the characters in a great way. And yeah, obviously the ending's a gut punch. You know, I always think of Star-Lord, where he's like, did we just lose? You know, whenever I hear that, I'm just like, it just gives me chills, because I'm like, yeah, the superheroes aren't always going to win, and if you make these movies that they are always going to win, like, each segment, I would say, it's not realistic. So it was awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a movie that actually, with this one in the Endgame, lives up to the Avengers and what they're actually about. Is like, in a way that, like, if you come for them, they come back stronger. And right. It's a good 1-2 punch. I will let you know this, not on my top five either one of them, because I couldn't figure out which one to pick. But I do agree.
Endgame's hard for me because that first act is a slow burn. But
I always think when they go back in time is the slow burn.
What?
Yeah,
I enjoy the first part of it,
and the third part of it, fantastic.
I find the going back in time, it's good, but there are hints of like being too jokey, or like where that's where it kind of started. And maybe because that's also like where the Loki show comes from, whatever. But the first one, I will say, is well done, but that ending shot is fantastic. But for anybody who knows anything, like we knew those people weren't going to be gone forever. And then they were actually obviously come back. I feel like the I'm going to say the layman out there who just watched the movies and doesn't know anything else, might have thought those people were actually dead. And even though it is a sad moment, for me as a comic book fan, I was just like, they're going to come back. Like there's no way those people stay dead. Yeah. And so I just, for me, kind of like in a way, that's my problem. So that's why I was thinking about with that movie. I was like, I can't pick that movie because there's not really real stakes, as Alex states.
Hell yeah.
There you go. Corey, yeah. One.
So my movie number one can be summed up in two words. Pizza time. Spider-Man 2. Just summer block.
That's how you summed it up, is pizza time? It sounded like TMNT or something.
I was going to make that joke, but I let it go.
If you don't know, then you haven't seen it. So
I've seen it.
But I also saw this one in theaters, but just I'll never forget that. It's like nostalgia, you know. I'm a huge nostalgia person, and just yeah, seeing that was like the first major summer blockbuster.
Well, how old were you?
10.
When did this come out?
2004.
All right. So I was 18.
It was July 1st, 2004. Whoa.
July. Yeah, oh, okay.
Like when the laser effect.
It was July?
Yeah.
I thought it was June.
So it was originally June 30th, then it got delayed.
By a day? Two days?
Let me see here.
Hey, while Corey's looking that up, I do have a little bit of anecdote. Is that how you say it?
Anecdote.
Jesus Christ. About that movie. That movie would have came out right before I started working at the establishment that we all eventually started working at. And that tells you how old I kind of was at the time. It was senior year. And also, that means that whenever I would put on movies to watch, that's why that one was probably one I played a lot, because it just had came out. So
raindrops keep falling on my head.
Oh God. I had both the soundtrack and the score CD for it.
God. So good.
So good. Okay, Alfred Molina, great villain.
It was June 30th.
June 30th. I started working at that establishment in September of 2014. Nope. 2004, I mean. So 2014, yeah, that's way later.
I was 30.
It's 2004, so like it was, that movie must have just came out on DVD. And my hands have been on it all those years. When you guys touched it, I touched it all over first.
Also best PS2 game of all time.
It is a fun PS2
game. I had it for the GameCube. It was really good.
I don't know.
It's the first tournament game where you actually had to connect to the buildings. And bad guys, just you had to fight them all the time in the city. It's phenomenal.
Yep. I did love Spider-Man 3, where you could like beat all the gangs in the city, so that way you had total control of the whole city.
Maybe not the best game. You ever play fucking Barbie's Dreamhouse? All right.
Greta Gerwig Barbie video game.
Corey, that's number one. That's your number one, Spider-Man 2. Yep. Garrett's is Infinity War, and Alex. Mm-hmm. Your number one is Winter Soldier. And so when I think of this list and think of all the possibilities you get number one, it's really a place to place a statement in a way, saying like all the rest of them, no matter how good they are, like this is the one. For me, it is Winter Soldier. And I feel like, because here's the reason why. Captain America, my favorite. It's his best movie. It is the best, the most Captain America, like pitch perfect, they could have done. Two, it's the first movie I saw of that the Russo brothers, who eventually took over into the Infinity War movies, And I think it is their best action movie out of all of them, because of the fighting. And I think because of all the people in that movie really don't have powers. I think that kind of, besides being strong, it kind of is more like a kung fu action kind of movie in a way. A lot of fighting. And it definitely does interesting things in the action kind of movie realm. So, like, when I talk about a good movie, like, this is a good movie. And it is all the cherries on top of Captain America, Winter Soldier, a storyline I love, and everything. It's the full package, baby, you know.
No Red Skull.
No Red Skull. But actually a very good, I feel like, message in that movie. It still is relevant today. And I think to have a movie that is that great as an action movie, you can take that from it. You can take the geopolitical stuff from it. You can take anything from it. Take the captain from it, baby. You know?
That's what. See, but I think Winter Soldier was the definite stepping stone to what, like, Infinity War and Endgame, like, it was essential to becoming those future projects.
Right. And I feel like instead of making everybody become a comedian, I think, like, the influence should have been more of this kind of action across these movies. Because really, these movies, and the issues I've had from them in the last few ones that have come out, besides, I'm just talking about the MCU specifically, is not great action. Like,
right.
I'll say even Wakanda Forever, like, the first one's better in terms of action.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, what were we going to say?
I don't remember.
There we go. Captain America, Winter Soldier. That's just a movie that, Alex, if I had a robot right arm, it would just hit.
Oh, that's what it was. It was Winter Soldier. It was the fact that, like, so I went to go see it with my wife. I thought this is one of the few movies I've seen twice in the theater. But as a comic book reader, I already knew that Bucky was the Winter Soldier. But I had gone with my wife, and I remember for those people who went into this movie not knowing and just going to enjoy the movie, to see Bucky alive and to see that he had been brainwashed by Hydra, it was a big reveal. And I mean, that's like the first big reveal I remember taking away from the Marvel movies on a character that you thought was dead, and for him to come back and to be this badass motherfucker, phenomenal.
I will say also that moment you're talking about where people didn't know Alex, that is Alex Pastrello, canon. What did they call it? Canon
event.
Canon event. Because that is the moment when Alex figured out how to see stuff from people's other perspectives. Because I remember you telling me that, and you were like, "Why were they so surprised?" And I remember telling you, I'd be like, "Not everybody reads comics, Alex." And you were like, "Oh yeah."
I mean, I just started reading them like 2 years earlier.
You're like, oh yeah, I guess, like, for them, they didn't fucking know that was gonna happen. Like, even though for us it's like the biggest, yeah, of course, like, that's the biggest plot twist you can think about if you talk about comic books, that and Damien, you know, retconning
the boy
when he gets revealed. But yeah, that was, I remember that being like, Alex was like, oh yeah, they don't know. And in a way, Alex, I know I saw a twinkle in your eye that made you feel better about yourself.
It was, like you said, a canon event. I now live my life ever so slightly different, that people might think differently than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the moment where Alex grew that first gray hair. So
yeah. Oh. I'm surprised, but I am surprised based on this list nobody said X-Men First Class, because you
telling you what, I went back and forth on that movie, but I think X2 is the better action movie.
I know, but the reason why is it was a birth of something else. It was the birth of the Fantastic Fourgasm. The union of Garrett, Alex, and I, and Marvin.
Oh, that's true. I will say,
though, because we definitely didn't form it after that piece of shit Green Lantern. So
no, we tried.
Yeah, I felt that's the only superhero movie I've fallen asleep to. So,
bro, I was close. I was close.
What movie was it that Marvin and I went to, and then you guys showed up? Was it Thor?
It was Thor.
That you guys sat in front of us, and Marvin and I were in the middle. And then we agreed at our establishment to go see First Class together.
Was that how it was? I can't even remember the detail before.
Yeah,
that.
We just both showed up the same.
I saw you guys without you guys with us.
Yeah, we
and then you guys talked about it at a later date.
Yeah, I remember that. It was Thor. I remember that Rainbow Road.
Rainbow Road, I like it.
Speaking of First Road. Class, if we're to talk seriously, why I didn't make it? I do not like the group of characters that are younger. I don't like how they all just like get killed off. God, what's his name?
Oh, the one that Evolution. Drove the taxi cab.
Darwin.
I was like, yeah, sad.
Oh, Darwin. Yeah. It's just like
saddest deaths.
I don't know, that to me was just like, ah, come on. But I like Matthew Vaughn, so that's why I feel like that movie has some good action, but also some bad choices. So,
well, I just love that, like Days of Future Past. They're like, yeah, nope. These people that you loved in First Class, yeah, like 3/4 of them, they're all dead now.
And guess what?
They all died horrible deaths.
A big struggle I have with First Class is who plays Xavier in that movie?
Who? You didn't like him as Professor James McAvoy?
No, I don't care for him.
But Alex, it did give us Michael Fassbender as Magneto.
So. Oh, see, and I like all the other character choices. I mean, I don't care for the First Class kids. I mean, I don't care about Banshee. I don't care about Havoc. I wish that they would have brought the other First Class that everyone knows, and I get this was the way of introducing other characters.
I like James McAvoy too, but
hold on. There's one cringy line in that with Jennifer Lawrence that just kills me every time. Ooh, we were talking. You should be Professor X, and you should be called Magneto. I was like, I cringe.
Too on the nose.
Yeah, and that was, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. There's some choices in that movie. WednesdayComics.com, go there. You can subscribe to the show any way you want it. That's the way you get it. I don't think that's how it goes. Any way you want it.
That's the way you get it.
Yeah, there you go.
No, jeez.
Yeah.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it.
Well, I'm going to say get it. It sounds better. So go to our sponsors. That's RainbowComicsAndCards.com, Sioux Falls and Lincoln, Nebraska. Go to RainbowComicsAndCards.com and our friend over at RootsOfTheSwampThing.com for Wednesday Comics and Marvelous Marvin signing out.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey.
And hashtag guest host one.
Hey, everyone. Keep watching those movies and turning those pages.
Wahoo!
Are you cut from live?
Oh, damn. I was going to play music. I'm like, why is it not playing?
I've listened to that song a million times.
Here, I'm going to act like this is the end of the show. Let's redo the last part. I'm Marvelous Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
I'm hashtag guess there's one.
Hey, everyone. Keep turning those pages and watching those movies.
Oh, I love it.